Good morning, everyone. I don't know if you could hear, but last week I started by coughing into the microphone. So today I did that before I got started, before I turned the microphone on.
I took it off the website.
Good, thank you. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together and share. I just think of those around the world who don't have this same opportunity. Pray that they do get this opportunity, but I'm thankful that we have it in this nation, that we can come together and hear your truth, Father God. I ask that you give to me exactly the words as you would have me share them. I ask that for the people that are receiving it, including myself, that we have ears to hear the way you would have us hear, hearts that are open and ready and willing to receive, and then give us the courage, the strength, and the ability that only you can provide to be able to walk it out. And I thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
I can say that the last part of that prayer is something I pray often over myself. I think it's one thing to get something from God, but then if, in fact, I try, and the key word is try, to walk out what he showed me on my own, fall flat on my face every time. So I pray often that he gives me the courage, the strength, and the ability to walk out whatever it is he's revealing to me, because it's only him that can enable us to be able to do that. So for me, it's important. Wasn't planning on sharing that here, but for once again, when God gives you something, you share it. And so someone, I think, needed to hear that. But I'd like to open with just a very brief summary of the main thing. And it's one thing Pastor Bill has encouraged me to do, and that is to keep the main thing the main thing. And really, that comes from the title that God gave me for the whole series, and that is Take Your Next Step in Love. Hopefully by now, this is week 4 in this series, you've got that, because I've said it several times each week. Take your next step in love. And really what God was showing me that is that to the level that you have revelation in a given area of love, consider that as you're about to do what you're going to do the very next thing. That's really what the next step is. It's metaphorical. It's not all actually doing this. It's what are you going to do next? And do it in the revelation and to the level of revelation in love that you have at that given point in time. And then as you do that over and over again, you won't have to be quite so mindful of it as you go to do it, because you'll create the habit. It will really become part of your character, who you are, so that you'll almost then out of your character be able to walk in that revelation without being so mindful of it, because it'll be who you are. That's just what you do, because that's who you are. That's really what God's looking for, because when we become as he is in love and we do that out of our character, that's what God is trying to do. We talked about last week that something that Pastor Bill shared with the men's group back a month ago was that we are to become children of God. And that literally means to become like our Father. And that's pleasing to him. So that's what happens by creating this habit, by doing walking to the level of revelation we have at any given time over and over and over again, so that it becomes part of who we are. And that is like our Father, specifically in this case in love. And that as we do that, how we do that is by listening to and seeing how the Father loves and how he, is the way I like to put it, Shane last week shared about basically commandments. But he shared it based on the fact that not all people really like being commanded to do something. But when you know the one who's giving the commandment is doing it because they love you, then you're more than willing to obey what they're saying. You have to know it's out of love. Well, we know that God loves us. So all that we see in the Bible, as I've said before, they're not suggestions for us. God doesn't make suggestions. Well, if you'd like to do this way. No, God knows what's best for us. And so he gives us commandments. But those commandments are from a heart of love. The Bible says, let all that you do be done in love. That's one of his commands to us. Well, guess what? He's not going to tell us to do something that he already doesn't do. Everything that he does is done out of love. That's why one of the things that I shared last week was you can take every single thing in the Bible that it talks about and you'll find a relation to love in it. We talked specifically last week, faith which worketh by love. Even faith, there's a love component. Love is actually what makes faith, activates faith and makes it effective. So, and you could do that with everything in the Bible because God is love and the whole Bible is about God, therefore it's all about love, right? And so that's why today I actually also cleared this with Pastor Bill back when I was first preparing this teaching, you know, a month ago or so. And in the spirit, I felt that I was supposed to ask a few of you specifically to come up and share how you know God loves you. And then I'll explain a little bit why afterwards, because he showed me why I was to do that. So right now, I'm going to ask the first person to come up, and that will be Randy, and then we'll have Marie go, and then we'll have Giovanna go. Okay, so I've asked each one of them to share briefly on how they know God loves them.
This isn't a teaching. This is 2 to 5 minutes of a little bit of a sharing. Because everything we have, everything you have, and everything that you will have has got to come by a revelation. I don't know of any other way. Because God is spirit, and we receive things from God in spirit by a revelation. Who do men say that I am? Oh, some say this, some say that. Well, who do you say that I am? You're the Christ! Oh, flesh and blood didn't receive that. So the love of God, or faith, or hope, or patience, or courage comes by spirit, and then it manifests itself. So how do I understand and relate to the love of God? Well, by reading the word of God. My reference to this is Luke 7, again, not a teaching, 2 to 5 minutes. That's all he's given me. No, I love that. You have to have windows in your life. So Jesus healed, Luke 7, revelation of love. How do you get this? What is it? Like someone hits you with a 2x4 and it's like, okay, you have my attention now, Lord. You have my attention now. Here is Jesus getting cranked up in his ministry. He comes to Capernaum. This is the fast part of it. This is the part that keeps me inside just past the 2 minutes, just under the 5. Here we go. Here he comes. He meets the servant. They come to him. Oh, Jesus, you need to help this man. This man has helped us so much, the centurion. He built our synagogue for us. Here is this man. You need to help him. His servant is sick unto death. Okay, I'll come and help him. And they ran to him and said, you don't need to bother coming into my house. We're not worthy of you. So you see this. What is the lessons in that? I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. He's moving down. He's moving towards where he's going. He comes into Nain. He interrupts a funeral. God does those things in your life. You'll be in the midst of trial and tribulation and your sea and your boat will be rocking. And he'll come right up to side your boat and he'll interrupt your trouble, your trial, your test, and he'll bring a revelation of who he is. This is how we know. He loves us. He loves us in these things. We get down as we continue to go down through the marvels of him. Read the whole narrative. The marvels of him were being revealed. So, a Sadducee comes to him. One of the priestly men come to him and say, come and dine with me. What? I don't know what that looked like. I don't know what this, you set the scene up in your mind. What did this look like? I'm talking about the love of God now. Jesus said, okay, I'll come to your house. He came to his house and he sat down. What did it look like? I don't know, because this is strange. This is odd. A woman comes in. A woman comes into the house And she goes behind him, not the place of honor. He doesn't say a word. Washes her feet, his feet with her tears. You see a couple of instances of these things happening in Scripture. She has an alabaster vial around her neck, and she's putting it on his feet, wiping it with her hair. What does this scene look like? This was dinner. And here's this woman, just what she hears about him and walks to him. Her spirit is broken because of the sin in her life, and the conviction power of the Holy Spirit is alive, even in the day of Jesus. But there's two opinions in the house. There's two opinions in the table. This is my revelation of love, part of it. This one man said, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he would, what, chase her out of here? What kind of person am I? This the light was coming on for me. What kind of person am I? Who am I to hold anything against anybody? You know, God loves you. God so loved the world that he, just think about that little word. He gave himself, he gave his life, he gave his time, he gave his attention. He never judged that woman. This is odd. Does love judge? It judges the thing it loves. So I always test my heart all the time now. This is the revelation to me to try this, because if he was a man of God, people will accuse you. Who did he hang with? Sinners. Who did he hang with? The dregs of the earth. Because he wanted to bring the light and love of God to them. That's what I need to do. That's the revelation I have to have. Alan, Marie is next. Swallow your water, Marie. Hallelujah. I'm always excited. You know, when you know Marie on a personal level, like Paul does, very personal level, you know when she gets put in these positions, she's like really nervous. Marie, you be you, because you're awesome. Just hold it right here and you'll be great. God loves you. And that what you have is about to be imparted. Seeds in your heart are going out to the peoples.
It's kind of hard to go after Randy, but I'm doing it.
Not that bad.
You know, when Alan asked me to do this, the thing I thought of was how God pursued me. You know, and you know, the word says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I can remember the first time I realized that God was pursuing me. And I was in college, wild as can be. And it was during the Vietnam War, and I was at I was spending the night on campus protesting. Didn't even know why I was protesting. But I was there doing it. You know, just like these college kids today, you wonder if they really know what they're doing with relative to Israel. But that was me, living in sin, protesting the Vietnam War. And then somebody came up alongside of me, said, you know Jesus? And I thought, oh. I went to church on Easter and Christmas my whole life. That was it. It's Easter and Christmas. But God was pursuing me. And just that seed that was planted in my life, do you know Jesus? And I thought, you know, I don't know if I do. But God just kept sending people. And I'd go to the mall, and somebody would walk up to me, and it was like, oh, no, here they come again. And it was during the Jesus Revolution. You know, and people were, God constantly was pursuing me and putting people in my life to tell me about him. Yes. And why? Because God so loved the world. Yes. Not people that, you know, not just people that come to Abundant Life Center, not just people that read their Bible every day, the world, sinners. God so loved the world that he gave. And he gives, and he gives, and he gives. And that's, you know, the main reason I know God loves me. And the greatest gift that God gave me on this earth is my husband, but the Word of God. If there's anything that I'm dealing with in my life, I can run to that Word. And that Word is an anchor to my soul. When the waves are crashing all around me and the storms of life are raging, that Word is an anchor. It's a love story. It's the greatest love story on the face of this earth. You know, my husband wrote me love letters when he was over in Korea, and I love those love letters, but there's nothing like the love letter of the Word of God. As much as I look forward to his letters, the letter of the Word of God is amazing. And another, not only the Word, but the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was given to us to be our helper, our standby, our comforter. And what would we do without him? You know, when I'm off track, God loves me through the Holy Spirit, says, Marie, you're off here. He does it. And as much as my husband would probably like to point things out, he zips it up and lets the Spirit of God deal with me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. So the Word and the Holy Spirit proves to me it's a deposit. It's a, you know, it's the a proof that my God loves me. And there's a scripture that I want to read to you. If I can find it. We're getting there. And it's in Isaiah. And it's in chapter 43. It says, but now, this is what the Lord God, your creator, says, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you from captivity. I have called you by name. You are mine. He's called us by name, and we are his. You know, Josiah, he's called you by name, and you are his. Heather, he's called you by name, and you are his. Pastor Bill, he's called you by name, and you are his. And thank God. Thank God that he's called us. He knows our name. He knows our frailties. He knows our weakness, and he loves us.
I was nervous when Alan asked me to do this, but, you know, I'm just going to speak from my heart. I know that the Heavenly Father loves me. I can feel his sweet presence now. He's not just my great I am. He is my Heavenly Father, and he is my daddy. I didn't have a godly father growing up. I respected my father, and I obeyed him out of fear. But I didn't have a relationship. And I remember when I was 5 years old, when God came into my heart, and he revealed himself to me. And he's been my dad ever since. Some scriptures that I have here. John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. John 3:16, of course, for God so loved the world, he loved me that he gave me Jesus, his only son. Because I believe in him with all my heart, I know that I'm going to be with him. He's forgiven me. Romans 5:5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I know throughout my life, didn't matter if I did wrong, I never feared running to God, you know? He drew me with his love, and I'm thankful for that. You know how God demonstrates his love for me? You know, I always want to bless my kids. I mean, if I had billions of dollars, I would give them everything and do everything because, you know, I love them. But my father does that for me. You know, he says here in John 3, 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Not that I've arrived, but I have a relationship with my daddy that I can go to him because in my life, I had pride. I didn't know it was pride, but I wouldn't just go to him. I thought I had to do my part, you know, okay, if I do this and this, and then if I can't do it, then I'll go to Daddy God. No, that's not what he wants. He says, Giovanna, I want you to come to me like a little two-year-old. I didn't know how to do that because I never asked my dad for things. I didn't know. But now I know. So he's so precious. You know, if I like to go shopping, most women do, but I don't need a thing. But it never fails. I mean, I'm talking to my daddy on the way to the store. I'm like, you know what, daddy, just like a little kid. You know, I'd like to have a black shirt with, you know, glitter on it. I know I don't need it, but that's what I like to have. It never fails, I'm telling you. I will go to the thrift store and there's the shirt. There's the shoes. And I'm like, God, I have so many things. I'm like, Lord, you know I don't need anything else. But he blesses me, not because I deserve it or because I need it, because he showed me his love. There's times, like, I like to have tea in pretty teacups, okay? And my boys are growing up, and my husband works a lot, and we're on two different shifts. And there's times where I might feel lonely, honestly. And I'm like, Lord, you know, I'm not just going to call someone. I need a girlfriend or whatever. No, I don't need a girlfriend. I need my daddy. I need Jesus. And you know what I'll do? I'll say, Jesus, I know you could if you wanted to. You could appear right now and sit at my kitchen table and have tea with me. Josiah, you know this because I share it with him. But you know what he does? It never fails. When I asked him, Holy Spirit shows up. I can feel his presence. And I just start worshiping the Lord. You know, I'm like, God, let me bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm not going to pray about anything. I'm just going to love on you. And his presence comes. And that's how he's my dad.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank all of you for sharing. I knew it was going to be good. Hopefully, each one of you got something out of that. And part of the reason why God had me share was, sometimes when you're hearing from one person, really what you're getting is the revelation that that person has. Guess what? There are other people in here that have revelation of love that I don't have. There are different facets. Like when you look at a mountain, there's different ways to go up it. Now, the key is, and here's something I asked her. I actually called Pastor Bill this week because I was going to share this, and I was saying, I'm missing a word. There's a word that I'm looking for. And I started explaining what I wanted to share. And I said, as I go to share this, it sounds like I'm saying to people, can't you see where you're at? Stop doing what you're doing. Well, that's not what I'm here to say. What I'm here to say is, here's what God would really love. This would please God greatly. This would bring God glory. Let's ask him. Let it be our desire to have more revelation of him, and therefore more revelation of love in specific areas that we don't have it yet. Because see, that's how we're going to increase and abound. If you stay in the revelation you've already had, guess what you'll continue to walk in? The revelation that you already had. And you'll still be there. I shared with him, I know this personally because one of the problems that God has had with me over my lifetime is I can tend to get comfortable. Do any of you ever get comfortable? Okay. In fact, Pastor Bull even said this. He said, oftentimes the longer you're a Christian, there's a greater chance that you're even going to become more comfortable. Because if you've been comfortable there for 10 years, just think how comfortable you are after 20 or after 30. Okay. Well, I can tell you several times in my life, God has specifically had to do something to make me uncomfortable. And then show me afterwards, here's why I did this. You would have kept living exactly like you were living if I hadn't intervened and sent you here. One of them was me going to Chicago. And my question to God after he sent me to Chicago for a work thing was, after just a few years, God says, well, now you're to leave the business world and become a full-time minister. And I'm like, God, why did you send me to Chicago then? You could have just done that from where I was before. And he said, no, I couldn't. You were too comfortable there. I needed to get you out where you weren't comfortable so that when I ask you to do this now, you would. He couldn't share that with me when it happened, or else I probably wouldn't have gone. He knew that too. But at that point, I was like, oh, yeah, I can see that. I had just become comfortable where I was at. Well, it can be the same thing with our revelation. We can say, well, this is how I've always seen love. I'm not saying that's bad, because of the level we're saying, walk in the revelation what you have. But in 1 Thessalonians, as I shared last week, in 3:12 and 4:1 and 2, and in 4:9 and 10, it says we are to increase and abound in love. That's what God's looking for. That's what will bring him glory, and that's what's pleasing to him. Because in that, that's where the world's now going to start seeing it. And how do we do that? Well, once again, God's not going to push anything down your throat. He's a gentleman. But if you desire more revelation of who he is and desire to know more of what his love is really like, he will then start to show you specific areas that he has for you, that he has revelation for you in, so that you can then begin to walk in that. I was sharing with Giovanna out in the lobby. We were talking before the service started. I know of a man who actually shared with me that he was praying to God for more trials. And I'm going, I've never prayed that prayer. And in fact, I started thinking, I'm going, I don't think you need to pray that prayer. And here's why. At least, now, maybe I'm the exception. Maybe I'm the exception. But what I found is if I'm desiring more revelation from God in a certain area, and he gives it to me, guess what's going to come next? The tests are automatically going to come, because that's where you learn the obedience. That's where you start to develop the habit and the character gets worked into you. So personally, I've never prayed, God, send me the trials. But I would hope that, and it is right now in for me in this area of love, because this is what God said, here's what you need, Alan. This year, starting January 1st, I'm going to show you more of love, because you're now ready for it, because you're now at a place where you want it. And so guess what? I think I shared this earlier. I went, uh-oh, because that means the tests are coming. But then immediately after uh-oh was like, oh, this is going to be good, because he's going to work love into me like he never has before. And that's a good thing. So I was so glad, and thank each of you for coming, because I know it's a stretch for some of you. But it was so good, because I want others to think, hey, God loves them that way. You know what? God loves me that way. And here's the one thing we can be sure of. If God loves us that way, he expects us to love in the same way towards our brothers in Christ and or towards the world. So in other words, it's not a one-way street. So in each one of these areas that you heard shared, look at it and go, do I love the world like that? Not in condemnation, but as one Randy was showing, judge yourself before God. Do I love like that? And if you can truly say, well, I don't think so, because trust me, that's where I wind up often. It's like, yeah, I'm not there anywhere near that, God. You're going to have to show me. And then ask him to show you. And if you do, I can promise you, it's one of those things he's just waiting for. You just say, God, show me. And he will. He will. Like Giovanna was sharing, just show me your love. And in these specific areas, because as I also shared last week, we really can't be expected to walk in love in an area that we don't have the revelation yet. Now, sometimes we do because of God's grace. He knows what we're coming up to and going through, and he'll give you an ability, even though you don't understand it. You don't have the revelation. But you can't just rely on that. We're to get to know more of him and become more like him. So, just a brief review from last week. Now, this is funny. I'm getting to my review, and it's 15 minutes before I finish. How's that? But last week, we also talked about, we've talked a little bit about increasing and abounding in love. We talked about faith, which worketh through love, but also the fact that the ultimate target that God has showed me, the bullseye on the target, I guess, would be the key. And why God showed me this was, he made it clear. We talked right from the very beginning that the world has its definition of what love is. And the world's definition of love is nothing like our Father God's definition of love that we find in the Word. Okay? And I've heard many Christians, many. So if you've said this, don't think I'm speaking to you, saying, oh, I said that to him, therefore he's talking to me. No, many Christians have said this to me. There's no way that I could ever walk in love the way Jesus did. He was God. I'm here to tell you, you can. Okay? And because it's right from his word. John 17:26. Jesus declared, he says, I'm declaring the name of the Father, that the very same love that God the Father had for his Son, has for his Son, Jesus Christ, be in you. That's you and me. That love. There's the target. To love everyone the same way that God loved his Son. Okay? In other words, that's the capability of love that we have inside of us. That is the capability. If you're aiming for something less than that, you can hit what you're aiming for and still be not on target because you're not aiming at the right target. The target is let's love to the same capability that God's put in us. Love with the same love that the Father loved the Son. Okay? In each and every area. So, want to go on today and in this little bit of time that I have left is introduce something that I've mentioned a few times, and that is when we're first learning, God gives us a revelation, and we're saying, okay, now we have to walk in it, because we say we walk in the revelation that we have. There's something called the mind that needs to be involved. Okay? See, God made us three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. And the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. So ideally, what is supposed to happen is his spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks to our spirit. Things of the spiritual realm, things that he wants to get to us. And then our spirit speaks to our minds. But at the same time, the world and our own self are talking to our minds too. So I want you to turn and look at Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. There it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What I specifically want to look at there. Notice there's two things going on. If you set your mind on the flesh, you're doing things that the world would have you do. That's what the world does. But the second part says we have another option. It says, in fact, if you were to look up in the Greek that word minds that's used there, set your minds on, it really means, the full definition of it means to be attentively fixed and to be filled with a real and eager desire in your mind toward all that which comes from the Spirit of God. See, it's fixed towards something. There's a fix towards either the Spirit or towards the flesh. And there should actually be a real eager and real desire in our minds to remain fixed towards that which is coming from the Spirit. That's what this verse is saying. For those who are in the flesh and live by the flesh, their minds are set on those things of the flesh. But those of us who live by the Spirit and in the Spirit needs to have our minds focused on that which is coming from the Spirit. So the mind is involved in this process. Colossians 3:1-2 says it this way. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. So it's about godly things, the things of the Spirit which God gives to us, and there needs to be a setting of the mind. See, this helps us I call it getting to the starting line. You know, the Bible talks about the metaphor of running the race and or walking the walk. There's a goal out there, okay? And so how do you even get started? Where is even the starting line? Well, this is one of the places at the very start is. As you come up to situations, that's the starting line. How are you now going to walk? First of all, do you even realize there's an opportunity to walk in love here? Because you could miss it. Okay? Well, your mind is involved here. Because now, once again, your mind needs to be set on the things that are spirit. So you go, okay, God, I'm here. I'm listening to your spirit. Is this an opportunity? What do you have for me here? What should I be doing here? Well, that's got to come from the spirit. But it comes from setting your mind to look that way. Because if it's not set that way, you're going to come up to the situation, walk right through it. Boom, you missed it. I don't know about any of you. I've missed it many times in my life. That's not a boast. I can just tell you it's happened. Okay? More than I would care for it to happen. In fact, he showed me one this morning. You remember that? You missed it. Opportunity for asking forgiveness and repentance, which he does. But he'll show you things like that so that you don't miss it the next time. If that's your desire, that's why he's showing you. So the next time you go, okay, God, I know I missed it last time. I'm not going to miss it. Show me. I don't want to miss it. So it comes from the setting of the mind. And Romans 6:11 uses another word, and it's part of using the mind. Now, you'll not see mentioned anywhere in here the word love. However, this word applies to every area. Romans 6:11 says this, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the word I want you to pay attention to here is the word reckon, because reckoning is done with the mind. Okay? Reckon is actually an accounting term. Many of you have probably heard the day of reckoning. Well, that's where there'll be a day of accounts in heaven. See, as the word reckoning is used here, it has to do with accounts. And what it means is to take an account of what you have available for use. So in other words, you stop and go, oh God, God's given me love in my heart. I know that. That's on my account. In other words, and it's what I have available for use. And if you don't recognize that, if you don't know what you have available for use, how do you know to use it? You don't. So you have to take a reckoning. What has God given me in this area specific to love? Okay? I would highly recommend a book if you haven't read it. It's this littlest book. It takes no time at all. It's the book In Him by Kenneth Hagin. Because if you'll notice in that verse, it says, in Christ Jesus our Lord, okay? You'll find that all of this that we have comes from being in him, okay? In him, in Christ Jesus, in Christ. And basically, the book just quotes a bunch of scriptures. And two of these we'll find that are a starting place even for love. Because, as we know, love comes from the spiritual realm and is spirit because God is spirit. Say, for example, Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, as you walk into a situation, you can go, I've got every spiritual blessing I need. But now, here's what we still need to know. Sometimes that can be a little general, because I go to God, so, which one? What is it that you've given me that I need here? Because if you've got something general, it's good to know that. I'm lacking nothing. But what do I need to use here, God? How do you want me to walk this out? What specific revelation that you've shown me can I use to walk out here? In the same way, in Acts 17:28, it says, in him, once again, that in him we live and move and have our being. We've talked about this stepping, this walk, is simply living out our lives, right? So it's, once again, kind of general, in him we live and move and have our being. So in him we have everything we need. So what is it we need? Specifically for a given situation, we once again have to have our minds fixed, set on what the Spirit is telling us. Because then he will show us, reveal to us what it is we're needing in any given situation to be able to walk in it in love. Okay? So, any definition that we get of love, and really what we're going to do throughout the rest of the next, what I see to be 6 more weeks. This is week 4. I can tell you that God's already given me what to share in the next 3. So that means I have 3 more. And in general, I know what they're to be about. I just haven't written an outline yet. He doesn't show me specifics, okay? And I allow him to do that on his schedule. I found if I try to do it on my own, it doesn't work very well. But he's given me what they'll be about. And we're really going to look at some of these specifics to say, okay, do I have revelation of love in this aspect or this facet of love? Because there are many. I mean, if you look at what's called the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and look at verses 4 through 8, in there alone, you see that love suffers long, is kind, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Then it gives you some things that it doesn't do. If you look at one of the verses that was used a couple times here today, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life." Hopefully, that when you read that verse, and we're going to talk about this in great detail, you see also a love that is giving, but it's selfless, and it's sacrificial. These are parts of love that's not even mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, okay? But it is. Love is forgiving. It's not mentioned in those words, but it goes, if there is love, there's going to be a need for forgiveness in there. And all of those can be found right there at the cross, and we're going to look at that carefully in one of the teachings. But the first one I'm actually going to look at is actually going to be long-suffering. But I will close with this today. I might run 5 minutes over. I think you'll forgive me. because I did want to get to at least this part today. Any definition of love has to start with revelation of who God is. It's that simple, because God is love. So how do we get the revelation of who God is? Well, first of all, it comes by spending time alone with him and hearing from his Spirit, as Marie shared, but also, as Marie and Randy shared, from his Word. And this is a passage that Pastor Bill has taken us to a few times, at least in the last few years. So I know you've heard this before, but it's where God would have me go here at this last little bit of closing here. It's Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Exodus 34, 6. And there it says, and this is God speaking directly to Moses as he's gone up the mountain for the second time to get the Ten Commandments. Okay? And God tells Moses who he is. So if you want to know who God is, let's take it straight from God. Okay? He says, and the Lord passed before him and said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. So that's God. Okay? Now, I find it is no coincidence. I looked at a couple words because I knew these were the first two that I was going to start sharing in specific revelations of some things that God showed me to you. And they were long-suffering and loving-kindness. In that verse, you'll see God says, I am long-suffering. If you look up the Hebrew word that's used there, guess what it means? Long-suffering, to suffer long. So that one was pretty easy, okay? Now, if you look at the word goodness in both the King James Version and the New King James Version, it says goodness and truth. It's actually the word chesed, which is loving kindness and truth. That word goodness is translated as the word chesed, loving kindness. So to me, God shares this with Moses. It's no coincidence that when you get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, how's it start? Love suffers long and is kind. Those very same two things that he points out from the beginning. This is love. Now, what's interesting, that some translations, some, will say love is patient. Not the best translation, Because as Pastor Bill has taught here, patience deals with situations and circumstances. Long suffering is what you deal with people. Okay? And that's what love is about. Love is between people. Okay? So both the King James Version and the New King James Version say love suffers long. Long suffering. Okay? That's correct translations. And it says love is kind. And really that word there that is interpreted as kind has to do with benevolence. It means that there is within us the desire to do good things for people. To me, I like putting kindness, loving kindness, is that very thing. It's acts of kindness out of love. That's what kindness is that we do it out of love. See, the world has, once again, its distorted view of kindness. Have you ever heard people talk about how people are out doing random acts of kindness? Worldly people are doing that. Random acts of kindness. I don't want to do worldly random acts of kindness. I'm serious. I don't. I want to do spirit-led acts of kindness. Right where God shows me I'm to do it, that's where I want to do it. I don't want it to be some random thing. Okay? Kindness is good at all times, but I want it to be spirit-led because that comes out of love. It's the kindness that comes out of love that God desires for us. Okay? We're going to get into that a lot more next week, as well as specifically long-suffering. I'm going to wrap it up there today, and so you can know that next week we're going to start with long-suffering in detail and perhaps get into kindness. I hope so. I hope we can get both of them in next week, but that's up to God. I share what he has me share. But I just want to express once again that all I can say is, as God is having me share this, it's something Pastor Bill has shared that he knows times are going to get worse coming up, okay? And the Bible tells us that. We shouldn't be surprised when we hear that, but also we shouldn't become, I like how some people have said, scared. I mean, scared. I mean, that, oh, this is coming up. And no, that's not where we need to be. See, if we learn and get revelation from God about who he is and about how to walk in love, we're going to be the ones who, when the whole world is panicking, we're going to be able to walk in love. And they're going to see it. They're going to be drawn to us because we have developed a godly character. We have learned love. We have the revelation of God and who God is in this area of love and are walking out the love walk the way that God would have us walk it out. And to me, that's why God is showing it to me now. He made it very plain. You need this now. I'm like, yeah, I probably needed it 30 years ago too. But I shared that earlier that I can be a little obstinate sometime and or just plain slow. And so sometimes I don't get it when God wants me to get it, but he doesn't give up on me. He keeps coming back. And he's actually found a time when I'm both willing and able and desire it. So when, as I said, part of it is, are you desiring this? If you are, great. If you're not, I guess I'll put it as the word that I never shared that Pastor Bill gave me. I challenge you to become desirable because it is truly what pleases God to become more like him, and specifically in this area of love, because that's how we'll be able to give him glory. So, Father God, I want to close with prayer. We just thank you that you are in us, that it is you who is revealing yourself to us specifically as love. It is you and only you that can give to us the ability, the courage, and the strength to walk out what you reveal to us. We thank you in advance. Our hearts desire you and your truth. And we give you all the praise and glory for all that you're doing in us and through us. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.